Welcome back to the Purple Political Breakdown. How's it going? How's your day been? We're back at it again for today's podcast episode, as there's some interesting things that I want to bring to your attention, of course. And I was supposed to publish this a little bit earlier, but now or never. It doesn't matter. I'll come out with the content. I'll come out with the conversations. And I always preach every single time I do these podcast episodes that we are here to bridge gaps. We are here to find solutions. We are here to do that without political bias. I don't care who you are. I don't care what affiliation you have. This conversation that we are about to have is supposed to move the world forward. Now, today is going to be very interesting, of course. As always, if you enjoy today's episode, you can rate it 5 stars if it really is something that you think deserves the credit, deserves the attention. And of course, if you want to contact me, feel free to go to my website, www.purplepoliticalbreakdown.com, and you can come on my show or you can have a conversation with me. And we can really talk about things in much more detail. I have people reach out to me all the time, and they are kind of co-signing the message, the motto, I will continue to push. Now, there are a few things that I want to talk about for today. And this is more like a general, like informative type of podcast episode. I will be dropping a Donald Trump, Joe Biden immigration podcast episode in the future, so stay tuned for that, of course. And if I can, I'll be able to drop that as well. So to kind of start off the conversation, I want to inform you, I want to give you a little bit of information that I do think is warranted, because I feel like people don't kind of know what Medicare and Medicaid is necessarily, and then I'm going to give my thoughts about that and then move on to some other topics as well. So let's start off with Medicare. What is Medicare? Well, Medicare is a health insurance for people age 65 and older and individuals with certain disabilities. This is a federal program, as we should know, and it works the same everywhere in the United States. Now, there are different types of Medicare. There's Medicare Part A, which covers inpatient health care at hospitals and similar facilities, as well as hospice care and some home health services. Medicare Part B covers preventative services like vaccines and screenings, plus medically necessary outpatient health care like doctor's office visits. Medicare Part C, or Medicare Advantage, is a private health insurance that bundles Part A and Part 2 and usually includes prescription drug coverage and other extras as well. And then Medicare Part D covers outpatient prescription drugs. So these are the different types of federal funded medical insurance you can get if you're past the age of 65. So make sure you're taking advantage of it, or if you have specific disabilities. Now, the other part is Medicaid. Now, this is probably more contingent, or this is more applicable to more people because it doesn't have an age requirement, but it does have an income requirement. Medicaid is a government assistance program that covers healthcare costs for people with low income and certain children, people with disabilities, and pregnant people. Medicaid is definitely a program you should take advantage of. If the government is giving out money, you better take it and don't even look twice. Don't even look back. Don't even shake their hand saying, you're the government. You're here for the people. I'm going to take this money. And you should. You should take this money because that's what it's there for. Medicaid exists for a reason, and it exists for you, the people. Now, my only issue with Medicaid, obviously, there's certain disabilities. Pregnant people are self-explanatory. Certain children probably indicates based off like certain health issues as well, is the income threshold. And the income threshold, from what I'm aware of, is people with incomes up to 133% of the federal poverty line. Now, if you don't know what that federal poverty line is, that's around, give or take, $20,000 to $22,000 a year. And obviously, people who are making less than that money should 100% take advantage of this program. But it gets a little shaky for me because the current kind of culture, the current status quo of what it means to be impoverished has changed to an extent. You've heard it constantly, consistently, that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer and the middle class is shrinking. As of right now, as we recover from the COVID crisis and the economy is in the most awkward situation has been in a very, very long time, with a lot of prices getting spiked up, with rent and homes being spiked up as well. How can you honestly say that people who make $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year, hell, even $50,000 a year, are people who can comfortably afford medical insurance without the right program? Now, I'm a wise spender. Make sure I take care of everything I need to take care of. I make sure I put myself in a situation that is not beyond myself. But let me tell you a story, because there's a level of ignorance that I approached it by, and I paid for it. But fortunately for me, there was tools at my disposal that allowed me to remedy the situation. Now, for me, I have been a healthy person throughout my entire life. I've been pretty active. I got really fat during COVID, but regardless, I never really needed medical health. I didn't need any of that. The last time I needed medical help was back when I was in middle school and I got a football injury. But other than that, I was healthy. The only time you see me at the hospital is military stuff or a physical. But now my current age, there's really no reason for me to go to the hospital unless I want to make sure that I don't have a long-lasting disease that will destroy me moving forward. But not to be so dire, the point that I'm making is that I was healthy. I was very healthy. Now, unfortunately, I got a little ignorant. I can pay for medical insurance, but I never thought I would ever need to. So I was just waiting, because my current job doesn't do health insurance. It doesn't include that as a benefit. So it's like, next job I get, I'll just have them pay for it. But unfortunately for me, I couldn't wait until next time, because I found out that my family line has a long history of kidney stones. And unfortunately for me, I love my salt, I love my minerals, and I got kidney stones. I went to the hospital, and that hospital bill was gigantic. Now, it's ignorant for me to ever think that was okay. Never just live life at the precipice of a potential out of nowhere disaster that can ruin your current pathway. Never do that. But ultimately, it made it very obvious to me that this stuff costs a lot of money. It just does. And people who are in certain situations making $30,000, $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year maybe, those type of individuals don't have to deal, probably better terminology, do have to deal with things that I don't have to deal with. I work from home. I don't need a car. So they would have to pay for a car, car insurance, maybe home insurance or renter's insurance or mortgage or rent. Maybe they have kids. Maybe they have a pet insurance. They have to pay for their kid, obviously, buy certain things, groceries, gas. Maybe they have to pay for some other things that I'm not even considering. Internet bill, cable bill. There's a lot of costs that stack up as time goes on. And despite you making $40,000, $50,000 a year, all those other things you're doing to make sure you live a life, not even a good life, a life, just doesn't afford you the ability to pay for something like medical insurance, potentially. So with everything going up, making it harder and harder for someone to live on their own, making it harder and harder to live on one income, for me, I feel, my personal opinion, is we should alter the way insurance works. People criticize America's health insurance program all the time. Yes, we have the top-of-the-art stuff. These brain surgeons are doing magic. The heart surgeons are doing wonderful. But how many people actually need that stuff? What if someone just needs something basic? a quick doctor's visit, like little drugs here and there for our medicine. That's a better terminology, medicine. Something simple, but something necessary. But it costs, what, over $1,000, $2,000? People criticize our healthcare program all the time. And it works based on what it is. The people who make a lot of money, it is a fantastic program. If you're getting your job to pay for it, amazing. But there's that percentage of people, probably the majority of people are in, that don't make that much but have to pay on so many things. That middle class is not as good as it was in the past. That 60K a year, that 50K a year, that 40K a year has changed in value. So my proposal is not necessarily free health insurance for everybody, but more so the idea that we should give Medicaid to people based off outgoing income. And what I mean by that is the income they're bringing in versus the necessities they have to pay for. That outstanding balance should be the determiner of whether or not they qualify for Medicaid. Now, we all have common sense. We all have logic on our side. So we can determine when some people are not using their finances wisely. Whether it's paying for $500 of groceries when you're a single person at a home. Whether it's having a car where you're making payments of maybe $500 a month for some 2020 Corvette. So you can kind of measure these things out. But for someone who is doing the bare minimum, just trying to live with their kid maybe, there should be a legitimate question. If they're bringing in $40,000, all their expenses are coming out to, let's say they're making around $2,500 a month, all their expenses are coming out to $2,300 a month, leaving them $200 extra. There should be a legitimate conversation that they deserve Medicaid. And those people exist 100%. So that's one thing that I wanted to point it out for you, because I think there's a conversation that should continuously happen in terms of our health care system. And I think fairly so. Now, another thing I wanted to bring up is tens of thousands rally against Netanyahu's government in Jerusalem. Tens of thousands of people demonstrate in Jerusalem on Sunday against Netanyahu's government and against exemptions granted to ultra-Orthodox Jewish men from military service in scenes reminiscent of mass street protests last year. Protest group, including some, led that mass demonstrations that rocketed Israel in 2023, organized the rally outside parliament, the Knesset, calling for a new election to replace the government. The protesters also wanted a more equal share in the burden of army service that binds most Israelis. Around 600 soldiers have been killed so far since the Hamas attack of October 7th and the ensuing war in Gaza, the military's highest casualty toll in years. Israel's N12 News said it appeared to be the largest demonstration since the war began. Now, there's more to it, but thousands of people are protesting. They're saying things like the government is a complete and utter failure. They will lead us into the abyss. They are not happy on what is going on. The people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem. And to be fair, I could see why you would say that. Now, for the most part, throughout the trial, throughout the situation regarding Israel and Palestine, I've been pretty clear on my stance. It seems to me that it's a complicated history. But ultimately, what Hamas did is reprehensible. It should be reprimanded. It should be treated as a villainous act as it is. But recently, with Netanyahu's actions, with not wanting to abide by the UN peace deal, with continuously pushing into Rafah, it makes me think that Netanyahu wants more. He doesn't want peace. And that makes me look at you sideways. So if this protest exists, if the people of Israel see the same things that some of the Palestinian supporters, and now a little bit of some of what I'm saying. Not that I justify Palestine. I would still side with Israel in the conflict. One, I'm in America, and America's allies with Israel. And two, the October 7th attack was terrible. But we got to call a spade that what Netanyahu is doing seems to be aggressive. Seems to be a bit extra. Seems to be a little villainous. So what happens moving forward, I am curious to see. Another thing that I want to bring out to you is that there's an investigation that links Russia to mysterious brain injuries. A Russian intelligence unit may be responsible for a deliberating sickness that has struck U.S. diplomats, spies, contractors, and their families. An investigation by media groups, including the CBS documentary series 60 Minutes, alleged members of Russia's secretive GRU unit 29155 using sonic weapons, using radio frequencies to target their victims' brains. It's kind of quite the crazy accusation, if I say so myself. And if it's proved to be the case that Russia is doing that, I'm curious to see what happens afterwards. I just wanted to kind of tell you guys that information, as the tensions between Russia and America don't seem to be getting better, nor China and America as well. Next, I want to kind of bring this to your attention. Rowling, J.K. Rowling, has challenged Scotland's hate crime law in social media posts, inviting police to arrest her if they believe she committed an offense. The Harry Potter author, who lives in Edinburgh, described several transgender women as men, including convicted prisoners, trans activists, and other public figures. The Hate Crime and Public Order Act of 2021 creates a crime of stirring up hatred relating to age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, and transgender identity or being intersex. The quote here is, "It is impossible to accurately describe or tackle the reality of violence and sexual violence committed against women and girls or address the current assault on women's and girls' rights unless we are allowed to call a man," was something that Rowling said. Rowling referenced criminal cases, including transgender rapists who abducted and assaulted a girl in Scottish borders. She described them as men in posts that included transgender campaigners and other individuals. The reason why I brought this to the table is I feel like when people have positions, they prove themselves right. And what I mean by that is that they look for information. They look for things that are going to reinforce their opinion further and further, leading them down a rabbit hole of potential extremism. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that's what J.K. Rowling is doing, but it does seem like she has a pretty strong stance on transgender people. Ultimately, there is a nuance here. Ultimately, I can't say, well, I won't say that if you call someone a man or woman and misgender them, I would never consider that violence. I will dismiss it every single time. But it seems to me that J.K. Rowling's looking for very specific cases to reinforce her opinion of men being men. When in reality, you can look at and find those situations, but you also can find transgender women that are normal, that live their life. If you look for cases that are about transgenderism, the only time you're going to hear cases if it's negative. You're not going to really hear positive cases in basically any situation. So it's very tiresome when people don't look at the full picture of the conversation that they're trying to have. If you want to misgender a criminal, I don't care. I don't even care if you misgender a non-criminal, to be honest. But let's be honest on what you're doing. You have an opinion. You refuse to call transgender women or men the gender that they associate with. So you're looking up negative situations to reinforce why you are correct. When in reality, your standards probably just focus more on the biological, which is fine. But if your perspective is based off these criminality situations, then I think it's shallow at best. That's what I personally believe. So those are my opinions, some of the things that I want to bring to the table in terms of the conversation. Let me know what you think about this. Let me know what you think about all the other topics that I brought about. Hopefully you were informed a little bit. Hope you guys enjoyed. Tune in for the next episode of the podcast. We come out 8 a.m. EST. We try to do it every day, but if certain situations prevent me from doing a podcast episode, well, it's just unfortunate. You can still find me and my information at www.purplepoliticalbreakdown.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate it 5 stars. Hope you guys enjoyed. You have a good one. Take care and peace.